Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Psalm 103. We read the word of the Lord this morning, Psalm 103. It's on page 595 in the Pew Bibles, page 595. Psalm 103. Let us listen to this word the Lord speaks to us. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed, he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass, he flourishes like a flower of the field, the wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And notice again the first five verses. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. May the Lord bless this reading and our hearing of his word this morning. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, Psalm 103 is a call, a summons to us to have a serious conversation with ourselves about how, as we look back upon the year that is past, we can do justice and give appropriate thanks to the God of our salvation, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I would like to perhaps suggest that what Psalm 103, as we'll see this morning, is doing is it's inviting us to give thanks to the Lord. I'm sorry the word is overused, in covenant style. That is, in the way that only those who are members of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, loved of God in Jesus, indwelt of his Spirit, know how to give thanks. I don't know if it was G.K. Chesterton who once wrote, it struck me an interesting line. He says, imagine the dilemma, the perplexity of being an atheist and being thankful. So thankful, but no one to thank. Well, that's not the style. That's not the dilemma, the perplexity that you and I face this morning, congregation, because we know the Lord and we know him who is the giver of every good and perfect gift, and therefore we ought to know how to give thanks. You know, of course, that there are people who write books of etiquette, and books of etiquette are intended to give instruction in the style, in the fashion and the form in which we are to conduct ourselves in speech and dress in various circumstances of life. I mean, you don't show up at the ballroom on old years maybe you do these days, in tattered jeans. You put on a party dress or wear a tuxedo or you dress for the occasion. It wouldn't be fitting. It wouldn't be suitable to do otherwise. Well, Psalm 103 is instructing us in the etiquette that ought to be ours as the people of God if we would offer to God, as we take one look back, one long and careful look at the year that is past, the year of our Lord 2011, before we close the books on it, and we do so in a way that expresses before the Lord that thankfulness, remembering with grateful thankfulness what the Lord has done for us in the year that is past. Now let's look at that together. And the first thing to notice in Psalm 103 is the focus. The psalmist does not give thanks in helter-skelter fashion, the way we often offer up prayers to God. Well, thank you for my new car, or thank you for this particular gift that you've given to me, for these children perhaps. Thank you, Lord, for this blessing, for that blessing, for all the blessings that I would like to enumerate, or for which I would like to pray. Now, the psalmist in Psalm 103, as he gives thanks and remembers all of the Lord's benefits to him, he does so with a very particular interest or focus. We were watching slides this past week, or I guess it was before Christmas. It's a family tradition among the Venemas. It drives the in-laws to distraction, but out come the slides. And we pick out a year, let's say somewhere about 80s or so, when the children were very young, and let's have a look. Well, it's very interesting as the years go by. You say to yourself, what on earth are all these ridiculous pictures of mountains and lakes and all sorts of other things? Let's get on with it. We want to see one of the children doing something typical. We want to see Dad when he was really young. We'd like to see Mom in the same condition. That's what we're interested in. We have a very particular focus. The things that are most striking are the things where we say to ourselves, yeah, that's typical. That's the way she was. That's the way she still is. That captures very well that particular child's persona. Now, why do I mention all that? I mention it because that's what the psalmist is doing in Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, he says in verse 1, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Notice in the very first verse, he speaks of the holy name of the Lord. And then later in the psalm, he calls to mind Exodus 33, where Moses asked the Lord to reveal to him his name. And you remember what the Lord said? Well, he spoke words very similar to the words of verse 8. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. That's who God is, at the core of his revelation of his name, that is, his reputation. And the psalmist is interested in Psalm 103 in speaking with himself, summoning himself to remember. Don't forget. Don't allow it to slip through your mind. Don't fail to call to mind the good things that the Lord has done for you, that are so typical, so characteristic, they are the kind of thing that establish his reputation among us. You can say of those things, it's just like God that he would have done that. It's so in keeping with his character that he treated me that way in 2011. And so rather than just letting everything tumble out in no particular order or without any sense of particular focus or interest, the psalmist summons himself to remember in particular the benefits, the good things that the Lord has done for us. And he soliloquizes, to use a fancy word. You know, there's something called a monologue. That's what preachers do. They speak and people, well, maybe they listen and maybe they don't listen, but the preacher speaks and the people should listen. There's something called a dialogue where you engage in back and forth. I say something, you respond. Well, soliloquy, is a different kind of speech. That's when you sit with yourself. And the psalmist says, you do that, if not today, in this first day of this new year. You carve out some time and you give yourself to a focused recollection of what God has done for you. And having noticed that, if that's the focus, that's the thing that the psalmist wants to zero in on. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, bless his holy name, in a better translation. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. What comes to mind? What in this year of our, or in that year of our Lord, known as 2011, did the Lord do well by me? What slides, in a manner of speaking, pop into your mind as exhibits of the kind of God whom we know in Jesus Christ and whom we love? Well, listen to the psalmist. Notice he recites them. Bullet points, we would say today. First of all, doesn't begin, I don't think we would necessarily begin here, but if you think about it, you'll understand why he does, as we shall see. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. What's the first thing? Who forgives all your sins? Now, there's something to think about. You can't even begin to remember all your sins. You know, the Shorter Catechism of the Westminster tradition has got this great definition of sin. Sin is any want, that is, lack, falling short of, conformity to the law of God, or transgression of it. Can you remember a day in that year of our Lord, known as 2011, where you loved God from sunup till sundown, with everything that you are and have? And you gave yourself over selflessly in undivided attention to the well-being, not of yourself, forgetful of self, forget about myself, what about the needs of someone else? Now, where would we be? Here we sit, January 1, 2012, if God held those sins against us in a heap of trouble. I saw a film this past week. I hadn't remembered that line in the movie, but there's a minister in the opening scene who leans over with a Bible into a car where a fellow may be, even as he speaks to him, dying. Been in a terrible car wreck. And he puts his hand on the Bible and he speaks words of comfort to that fellow and calls him to faith. It's a rather interesting, dramatic scene. Sets sort of the mood for the whole film. But at the end of that scene, he says something to the officer who says, you've got to get out of the way so that the emergency people can come to this gentleman's assistance. He makes this little observation. I hadn't heard it before. You might think it trite, but it's stuck in my head. I'd rather die today and go to heaven than live to be 100 and land in hell. And every day of your life, brother and sister, every year that passes, better that you had never lived. If this great benefit, who forgives, it says, not all, not some, not a few, not the majority, who forgives all your sins. So you start 2012, imagine that, with a perfect slate. You are forgiven. In fact, there's language later in this psalm. It's precious language. He says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has the Lord removed our transgressions from us. Now, how far is that? Maybe some of the boys and girls can do the space geometry here. How far is east from west? Well, those are not points on a compass. Those are directional indicators. It's beyond measure. You can't measure the distance from east to west. That's a whole long way. That's better than the analogy in Scripture. He casts our sins into the depths of the sea. He blots them out as with a cloud. In the Lord Jesus Christ, those who through faith join to Christ, the blood of Jesus cleanses us of all our sin. And so the very first thing, front row and center, the number one good thing, so typical of our God. Some people would complain. That's too much grace. That's too much mercy. You're telling me that God has forgotten it all? Won't that lead me to sin that grace may abound? Well, no, it won't. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. I've never met an ingrate in the face of the reception of something so overwhelmingly good. I remember a number of years ago, the parents of a little boy who survived the crash of that airplane in Sioux City, Iowa. It was United Airlines. The father and mother of this little boy were being interviewed on television. And I'll never forget it. They said through tears, "We cannot express in words how grateful we are to the pilot of that plane who saved our son's life." So the first thing, don't forget it, take time to remember it, brothers and sisters, is that good benefit called the forgiveness, the removal, the casting as far as east is from west away from his presence of all our sins. Notice also, secondly, he heals all your diseases. Now there are some, call themselves, they're sometimes termed health and wealth gospel preachers, who will argue that if you name it and claim it by faith, this language, by his stripes, you will be healed. Christians can be sure that they'll be healthy, wealthy, and wise, not only in 2011, but also in 2012. Now, you can take it to the bank. Well, you can't take it to the bank, because that's not what the psalmist is saying. Now, it's certainly true that, among other things, the psalmist is saying every day of life, every breath, every morning where you woke up refreshed and enjoyed that fine cup of coffee over the newspaper, or whatever it is you like to do in the mornings, every recollection of health and strength and provision for your bodily need over the course of the last year, God be thanked. Praise God. I'm alive. I'm in the house of the Lord. I'm with the people of the Lord. I can still, with the breath He gives me, sing His praise. Praise God. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and heals all your diseases. But you know, and I know, brothers and sisters, that our disease runs deeper than a momentary illness or a falling short of mortal sickness unto death, spell of some physical malady or another. The God whose grace we celebrate at the end of another year is not only a God who forgives us all our sins, but He does indeed heal all our diseases. whether in this life or in the life to come. And if I may say it, sometimes he calls his little ones from their mother's womb and he gives them instant access into his presence. And as I said to you earlier in that saying of the pastor on the film, I'd rather be confident that when this mortal is destroyed, that God has prepared and is preparing for me and for his own an indestructible, permanent place to dwell in his presence and in the presence of his people and indwelt of his abiding spirit. You know, if you are indwelt of the Spirit of Christ, who remains with you as Jesus is, no longer orphans forever, God has to prepare for you a house worthy of his dwelling with you. And even as he is immortal and indestructible, he will remake us and put upon this mortal immortality. I can run through life knowing that, even if this is my last day, because that's what Andre, into a never-ending future, who forgives all your sins, heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit. What does that mean? Well, it could be taken to mean from the depth of death and hell itself. The language there suggests something of that. It could be some form of lesser distress. Whatever the difficulty, whatever the perplexity, whatever deep place some of you may find yourself in or have found yourself in over the course of the last year. And there are those among us, brothers and sisters, don't forget, who beyond looking respectable on the Lord's Day, bring to church deep hurts, very real pain. And they sometimes say before the Lord, it's no use. There's no end to it. It is never ending. It doesn't go away. And to such people, the word of the Lord comes, may God by his Spirit write it upon their hearts. The word of the Lord says he not only forgives all our sins, heals all our diseases. He's the God who comes to our rescue. And he will redeem us in his own time and way from the pit. And then notice, the language is very rich and wondrous. He crowns us with love and compassion. Now there's a crown. You think the King of England, or I guess it's a queen nowadays, Queen Elizabeth still hanging on to the throne, do you think she's ever been crowned with a more lustrous crown than all God's sons and daughters, kings and queens, every last one of them? Children of royalty. A royal, the scriptures say, this is a psalm of David, a king in Israel, a type of the great king. And all of us in union with Christ, partakers, co-heirs with him, of our inheritance. Oh my. You thought you were poor, did you? Maybe you look back at the year past and it wasn't a good year financially. The numbers aren't looking too promising. Well, there's a real and profound sense in which, brothers and sisters, it could have been a very, very bad year indeed. From a fiscal and other kinds of perspectives. But that doesn't mean it was a bad year. I can tell you this, everyone in this room will go to their grave as naked as the day they were born, shorn of everything they thought was worthwhile, empty-handed of the things that this life can give them. And then you want to be able to say, however it goes with me, I'm a king. I'm a queen. I've been crowned. Crowned upon crowned with never-ending love and compassion. You notice how he sings of that in this psalm. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. No father pities his children like our father pities us. No father's long reach of love is longer than our father's reach. Stronger than our father's reach. And I love this part of the psalm. From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. His righteousness with their children's children, my children, and their children's children will know, God willing, his never-ending, everlasting, never-failing. Lots of us in this room have known relationships broken. Promises forgotten, broken. I'll love you till death do us part. When God makes a promise, seals it in the blood of Jesus, you can be sure the end of this year and at the beginning of a new year, if God gives us a new year celebration next year, we'll be back in the same place, called to do the same thing. His love never fails. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I like that one. That's the last one. Reminds me of Paul's words in 2 Corinthians. Though outwardly we're wasting away. You know, when you get to be my age, and that's, some of you might not think it's that old, although I do remember once in the history of this church we had a party and the oldest were to go first. Guess who was first in line? Well, it was my wife and then me, but we were the first in line. Now I'm in serious trouble in the new year, so Keep me in your prayers. Outwardly, we're wasting away. Now, you young people, you don't think that just now. You look in the mirror and you're looking pretty good. You're looking strong. You can still do the push-ups and all the rest. You don't have all the flaccid, weak. You know, at my age, you hurt yourself and it takes 2 days before the pain really begins to surface. That's how old I am. Now this thing I'm in here, it's a tent. Got all the telltale marks of it getting older. Boy, I tell you, those slides this past week or a week ago were a pretty straight on blow to any illusions on that score. But you know, God's people, even the oldest, that was one of the great blessings of being a pastor, as I remember it, in California. You could visit these old people sitting in a nursing home. And they didn't want you ever to leave. You could spend the day there if you had the time. And it was always a greater blessing afterwards than it was going in. You didn't really want to go. You'd rather stay home with wife and kids. But you went. And then you found out. They could tell you their story. Didn't matter how old they were. They all had something of an eye for a future. They didn't think right around the corner, that's it, finis, the end. Story finished, done, past, gone. No, as my mother once remarked in the year of her dying, I love the Psalms where they speak of our future. I like Psalm 16 at the end. Eternal pleasures at your right. I like, she says, to listen to these schmaltzy hymns. The schmaltzy of schmaltz, but they have to do with what I'm looking forward to. I don't have anything here but pain. Excruciating pain. But I've got something there. Now, don't you think, though outwardly wasting away, inwardly, the Lord was kindling in her. And in all his people, that language, your youth is renewed like the eagles. It's language that speaks of life, vitality. I think even the oldest saints can still skip inwardly when they contemplate their future. So we've got a lot, brothers and sisters, as the psalmist says, you take the time to call these things to remembrance and don't forget them. Cherish them. Ponder them. Delight in them. Revel in them. And then with me, bless the Lord. And I'll just abruptly end it there, brothers and sisters. But I think it's the way Spurgeon puts it. The law of justice requires that we love God with everything we have, heart, soul, mind, and strength. The law, he says, of gratitude says that we should praise him with everything we've got. That's the resolution for 2012. I'm not going to go to church dragging my feet. Well, I often do, truth be told. Rather be doing anything but going to church. Let's be honest. Pastors are like that. We're the worst. We've got to hear someone else preach. We could do better. But I'm going to ask the Lord to give it to me that when I have the opportunity, I'm going to pull out all the stops. I'm going to let it fly. I'm going to praise the Lord with everything I've got. I'm going to sing a hallelujah chorus. One of the best stories I heard when I was in California from an old Dutchie member of the congregation was a story he told about a fairly exuberant Christian who had nestled into the pew in a Reformed church and was busily, as the preacher preached, saying things like, "Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Bless Jesus! Bless His name!" And the old Dutchie fellow leaned over and said to him, "By the way, we don't do that here." And there was something profound in that. And the profundity wasn't that we need to pretend that we aren't what we are and make some goofy attempt to be charismatic and worship and fall flat on our face because we haven't got it in us, most of us. But we can still muster some energy, can't we? To sing God's praise, to gather with His people when opportunity is given, and to bless His holy name. Amen. Our Father in heaven, help us to take the time to look back at the year that has gone by and to remember with particular interest the wonderful good things you've done for us that are so like you, that reveal your holy name, that are so characteristic of a God who so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son. Mercy upon mercy, grace upon grace. May we sing then and always sing your praise, remembering all of your benefits for us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.